إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him, and I trust Him. And I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O who you believe, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, the 26th of Rabi' al-Akhir, for the year 1419, after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is coincides with the 18th of August 1998. And today's class constitutes the 24th class of our series concerning the book Bulugh al-Maram. Bulugh al-Maram, this book which by Sheikh Hajar al-Asqalani, Sheikh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, and which is the meaning of this, the attainment of the objective. We've been dealing with this book for the last 3 months, alhamdulillah, and today this will be the 24th class. And our chapter today concerning Salat al-Tatawwu'. And for those who have Kitab Bulugh al-Maram, the book of Bulugh al-Maram, this will be chapter 9, page 129. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about Salat al-Tatawwu'. Salat al-Tatawwu'. So we're talking about a kind of prayer, the word Salat. The prayer, the tatawwu', this to make it different perform the obligatory salah. We have salah which is obligatory, which is a must upon all the Muslims to perform 5 times a day, regardless, alaykum as-salam, if the person home or traveling, if the person is sick or well, that whosoever testified to the unity of Allah and the finality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is obligated, he or she obligated, to perform 5 time prayers every day and every night, which is Salat al-Subh, Salat al-Zahr, Salat al-Asr, Salat al-Maghrib, Salat al-Isha. Any other prayer additional to these 5 prayers, we call it Salat al-Tatawwa. That mean voluntarily prayer. That mean optional prayer. That mean is up to you to make it or not. If you make this salah, you will be receiving blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you did not perform this kind of prayer, you will miss the reward. So the difference that the salah which is a must, the obligatory salah, the 5 time prayers, if a person did not perform it, he or she will be punished for it, and it may take them to be a kuffar, wal'iyadu billah. The optional prayer or the tatawwa, the voluntarily prayer, if a person did not perform it, even if he's still healthy, he or she healthy, they are not going to be punished. Or what's going to happen to them, they're going to miss the reward and the blessings that they will get by performing this prayer. And this salah, which is salat al-tatawwa, comes from the ta'a, and to do something in your own. That means you are not been oppressed or been ordered or forced to do it. Okay? This is the reason called salat al-tatawwa, because you do it in your own. There is no any laws behind that say if you did not make this salah, you will go to hellfire or you're going to be punished. Okay? So you do it with your own choice. Okay? This is the reason we call it tatawwa, from the ta'a, obedience, voluntarily in your own. Is no any pressure in you for you to perform this prayer. And this is the reason we call this salah salat al-tatawwa. Salat al-tatawwa is the optional prayer or the voluntarily prayer or the this kind of salah, which is not a must, we call it salat al-tatawwa, we call it salat al-nafila, we call it sunnah salah. So there is more than one name actually it can apply to this salah. Sunnah, that means is not a must, okay, that is mustahab, is better. You call it nafila, you call it optional, you call it tatawwa, all these things. All these names can apply to this kind of prayer that we're talking about today. The importance of this kind of prayer, salat al-tatawwa, it is one of the means to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those people who always been talking about going right and left and going through different kind of changes, going in tariqah, going in Sufism, going in different things, and all their excuse or all the reasons they want to get closer to Allah. If a person want to get closer to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the means and the way how to get closer to Allah. Getting closer to Allah is not is something that the servant of Allah can guess it. Okay? This is not a machine that you have to guess or to figure how to use it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set the means and the ways how to get closer to Him. So you don't have to go to the sheikh, you don't have to go to the tariqah, you don't have to invent anything, you don't have to invent a different means and different ways how to get closer to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us in al-hadith al-Qudsi concerning salat tatawwa. That my servant could not get closer to me with anything better than what I made it obligatory in him. Okay? So if a person wants to get closer to Allah, all what he or she have to do to focus in obligatory acts, regardless if this obligatory acts in fasting or in a charity or in prayer. The things that Allah make it obligatory in you, this was going to bring you closer to Allah. If you want to get more and more closer to Allah, now you have to look for the optional deeds, which voluntarily, that you do it out of your own, okay? Voluntarily. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها وقدمه التي يمشي بها ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعذنه. And say, and then my servant or my slave continuing coming closer to me through optional deed. So if you fulfill all the obligation, you made Hajj, you give your zakah, you made the 5-time prayers, and you want to get more closer to Allah, is not through dreams, is not through guessing, figuring how, but how? By doing optional. So if you fast Ramadan, now you fast 60 days. If you fast Ramadan, you fast Monday and Thursday. If you make the 5-time prayers, you make the witr. If you give the zakah, you give charity. This is the way how people can get closer to Allah. Not by any other means. Not by dressing a special color. Okay? Not standing in the sun. Not doing certain exercise. And staying away from eating certain food to bring you closer to Allah. This is not the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it. This one of the Sahaba, one day he stood up in the sun. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa was giving the khutbah. And the man out of his own, respect and good intention, he said, how come the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be standing on the member and I be sitting? This is not a matter of respect. So the Prophet standing, I'm going to continue standing myself, okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw this man standing, he said, what's wrong with him? They say, oh Prophet of Allah, he made a vow that he promised that he never going to sit and he's going to stay in the sun and he's going to be fasting. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, order him to get out of the sun and let him sit down and let him continue in his fasting. So because the fasting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it legislated, he said, for the fasting, continue in the fasting. But to torture yourself and punish yourself standing in the sun, this is crazy. You don't need to be standing in the sun to get closer to Allah. And let him speak. Because the man, he made a vow that he's not going to talk to the people. He's going to be silent, he's going to stand in the sun, and he's going to be standing in his feet. So the only thing was legislated by Islam is the fasting. Say, let him complete his fasting, but all these other things that he made it out of his own mind, let him forget about it. It's not acceptable, okay? So now here, why we make optional prayer? He said, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, that my servant will get more closer to me, and more closer by doing what? By doing optional deed. Okay, so he prays Zuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Subh. Now pray Witr, pray the two rak'at sunnah for the Subh. When you enter the masjid, make two rak'at. This is called optional prayer. By doing this, you get closer to Allah. And by doing more optional deeds, fasting and charity and salah, all this is optional, which is not must. When you do a lot of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved you, what's going to happen? He said, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I'll be his hearing which he hear with, I'll be his eye which he see with, I'll be his hand which he touch with, I'll be his feet which he walk with. And if he seek my forgiveness, I forgive him, and if he beg me, I'll grantee his mas'ala. Okay? So the person increases his optional deed. As a result of this, Allah will love him. If Allah loves him, now your eye will be moving according what is pleasing to Allah. Your ear will be only listening to what's pleasing to Allah. Your hand will be only stretching or striking what is only pleasing to Allah. You are not going to be gambling. You are not going to be stealing. You are not going to be touching something haram. Why? Because now your arm and your hand is guarded by Allah. Your eye is guarded by Allah. Your hearing is guarded by Allah. How it can to be guarded by Allah? By doing too much optional. So Allah, when He loves you, now He will be your protector. He will protect your senses. And he said, I'll be his foot which he walk with it. That means you are not going to be going in haram places. And as a result of doing too much optional deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if he call on me, I will answer his call. And if he ask my forgiveness, I'll forgive him. This is one of the reasons that we're talking about optional prayer, so we can increase our love to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and we can get this result. One other thing, there is many things, but you see the class actually is not designed to talk about it. We're supposed to get to the book, but I'm giving introduction, and I don't want to go in the introduction taking the whole class. But the important, you have to know why we're going to do optional prayer. Some people barely can make the 5-time prayers. Now we're talking about making more prayer. Yeah, because you don't know. This is very important. You need to know why you need to make more prayer. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that awwal ma yuhasab al-'abd, in awwal ma yuhasab bihi al-'abd yawm al-qiyamah min 'amalihi salat. Fa in salahat salaha sa'iru 'amalihi. Fa in salahat faqad aflaha wa anjah, wa in fasadat faqad khaba wa khasir. So the first of all deeds that you be judged in the day of judgment is the salah. The first check out of your homework in the day of judgment is the prayer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the salah find to be good, acceptable, all your deeds which comes after this will be good and acceptable. The first thing that Allah will judge you about it is what? Is the salah. If your salah is good, now there is a big hope for your fasting, for your hajj, for your charity. But if your prayer is bad, is not good, فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسَرْ, he's a loser. Because the prayer you do it every day, and you could not master your prayer which you do it every day, how are you going to master your fasting which you do it once a year? If you could not master the salah, you do it every day, 5 times a day, how you going to master hajj, which you perform it maybe once in your lifetime? You see? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if your salah is acceptable is a good sign, because this means all your rest of the deed will be, have a good chance to be acceptable. But if your salah is not good, there is a serious problem. But listen now why we try to tell you do optional prayer, voluntary prayer, more prayer. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will say, قال الرب تبارك وتعالى انظروا هل عبدي من تطوع فيكمل به من تقص من الفريضة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angel, look, see if my servant have anything additional, anything to the side, optional, voluntarily. Alaykum salam. This is what we're talking about. Okay? So now if you make salah, as example, salat al-zuhr, 4 rak'at. But in actuality your body standing in the salah 4 rak'at, but how long your mind stay in the salah? Maybe only for a couple of minutes. Made 2 rak'at, you focusing about the salah, but the 3rd and the 4th rak'ah, one was in the school and one was in the street, and one was thinking what you're going to do after salah. So your mind was not there. You are not getting the full reward. You see? So now there is a deficiency in your obligatory prayer. And if your obligatory prayer have a hole in it, now we need to patch the hole. How are we going to patch the hole? If you made something optional. Like when you came to the masjid, you make 2 rak'at. This is, will be served as a what? As a batch. Now we can take the pants, instead of throwing it away, we try to put the batch on the pants and make it usable for a couple of months more. You see? So, if you made 4 rak'at after Zuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angel, look, did this man have any optional? If there is any optional prayer that you make, they will use the optional prayer for fixing and batching your obligatory prayer. You see? And there is other things that we can talk about concerning the optional prayer. To give you more explanation about what we're talking about, what is this optional prayer, there is a lot of optional prayer. And I give you some examples of this optional prayer. Qiyamul Layl, standing in Tahajjud during the night. Okay? You wake up in the last 3rd of the night to make up salah voluntarily in your own. Not because if you don't get up that Allah will punish you, but if you don't get up for salah till Fajr before sunrise, Allah will punish you for this. Yeah, for sure. If you go to sleep 3 o'clock in the morning, how are you going to get up? Watching TV, playing Nintendo and all these things, and after this you go salah, you will wake up about 12 o'clock. It's almost time for Zuhr. You see, he didn't even set the alarm clock, he didn't go sleep early. It's your fault, you see. So, but some people, they get up during the night to pray, not because they're scared of the punishment, but seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. So this is a prayer we're talking about, optional prayer. Also the witr prayer, the odd number, rak'ah. We call it witr. We talk about it inshallah more detail. When you enter the mosque, you pray 2 rak'at. This is called salat tatawwa, optional prayer, voluntarily prayer. The 2 rak'at that you pray before Fajr, the subh prayer, the morning prayer, this is also tatawwa, okay? The 4 rak'at you pray before Zuhr is called optional prayer. Salat al-istikhara, seeking guidance if you want to go get in business, get married, travel to a country, relocate, and you are not sure, you make salat al-istikhara. This salat also called optional, voluntary, tatawwa prayer. To pray between every adhan and iqama, this is called also optional prayer. The eclipse salah, this also called optional prayer. So there is a lot of salat al-tasabih. Okay, the salah that you say about 75 times in each raka'ah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is one. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is two. Like this, okay? So you say Allahu Akbar, and you say this 10 times, and after this you read Fatiha and Surah, and after this you start to say it 15 times. And after this you say Allahu Akbar, and go on ruku'. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, 3 times. And after this you start to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, 10 times. It takes about 45 minutes to make two rak'at. Okay? Inshallah we can go more in details in another class. But salat al-tasabih or al-tasbih is called also optional. So the optional prayer is any prayer that you pray by night or day other than the 5 obligatory prayer, you call it salat tatawwa. Now it's clear? Little bit. In actuality, there is a little bit different between obligatory prayer and optional prayer. The obligatory prayer is a must for you to be standing up. Okay? وَقُمُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, that stand quietly in salah. You could not pray sitting down except if you're sick. But the optional prayer, the tatawwa prayer, even if you're healthy, you're young, and you choose to sit and to pray, the salah is acceptable. Okay? This is one difference. The obligatory prayer, it have to be landed on standing on the ground. The optional prayer, you can do it while you're driving the car or sitting in your camel. The obligatory prayer, you have to be facing the Qibla. The optional prayer, you can be facing a different direction from the Qibla, or at least you will start the beginning of your optional prayer facing the Qibla, and after this you move your car or your camel or whatever that you're riding. So there is some optional, some differences between the obligatory prayer and the optional prayer. The obligatory prayer is a must for the neighbor of the mosque to pray it in the masjid, okay? And for those people who live distant, is strongly recommended for them to attend the salah in jama'ah. But the optional prayer is more rewarded if you pray it in your house. You see? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that we shouldn't make our houses like a graveyard, okay? And he recommended that we do optional prayer, wa alaykum salam, in our houses, because this will bring barakah and blessings in our house. So if the man go and make the salah, al-isha or salat al-zuhr or whatever salah in the masjid, he should, if he can, will be much better that he will go and make the optional prayer in his house to bless his house. Inshallah, with this small introduction, which is almost one third of our class, let's get with our regular study class, Kitab Bulugh al-Maram, the book Attainment of the Objective. And today we're supposed to be dealing with chapter 9, Voluntarily Prayer. This is a book of prayer, and this is page 129. And approximately we have about 40 hadiths in this chapter. And this starts with hadith number 280. عن ربيعة ابن كعب الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سل فقلت أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة فقال أو غير ذلك فقلت هو ذاك قال فأعني على نفسك بكثرة السجود. رواه مسلم. This حديث narrated by ربيعة ابن كعب الأسلمي, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of an Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه. So the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 280, page 129, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم being questioned, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned Rabi'a ibn Ka'b and said to him, ask me, wish, what do you want? He said, I ask your company in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him anything else besides this. He said, no, Prophet of Allah, this is the only thing that I'm aiming for. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, then help me to achieve this goal by devoting yourself in prostration, in a lot of prostration. Okay, so let's see the concern of the Sahaba. This is one of the Sahaba. His PhD degree or the Cadillac or the big house or the American woman or whatever it is that everybody have a desire and wish in this life, okay? Somebody need a Mercedes Benz, and somebody need, you understand, this woman that look like such and such, and this person wanted this big business, and this person wanted the PhD, and this person want to go to Paris to spend the summer, everybody. So Rasulullah, he asked this Sahaba, what's your wish? His wish was nothing of this material thing, comes and goes, okay? It's temporary enjoyment, but he was aiming for something higher than all this stuff, okay? He said, I want to be in your company, I'll be with you in paradise, not only enter paradise, but I want to be in paradise and I want to be with you, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't want this temporary company here in this life, and after this I die and I'm someplace. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, is there anything else that you're looking for besides being in my company in paradise? He said, no Prophet, this is all what I'm looking for. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told him that you need to help me to achieve this goal by what? Too much prostration. That means I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, but you need to take the means to reach this goal by doing what? Optional prayer. That means do a lot of salah, tatawwa salah. This will bring you to paradise and bring you to the closest position to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is one of the virtues of optional prayer, okay? And when he said to him, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ, because there's no sujood here without salah. So sometimes you take a portion of the total thing and you name it with this, okay? He said, do a lot of prostration, that mean do a lot of optional prayer, not only making sujood, okay? So we understand from this hadith the higher priorities of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they used to look up to it. The second thing, that one of the beautiful things that you get it as a reward of doing Salat al-Tatawwa, that will bring you in the closer position to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. Hadith 281, and this in page 130. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال حفظت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 ركعات, ركعتين قبل الظهر وركعتين بعدها وركعتين بعد المغرب في بيته وركعتين بعد العشاء في بيته وركعتين قبل الصبح, متفق عليه. وفي رواية لهما ركعتين بعد الجمعة في بيته. And in actuality, this is 10 raka'at, 10 sunnahs, or 10 nafilas. This is what you call mu'akkad, strongly recommended, okay? What is not strongly recommended, like the two sunnah before the asr, the two sunnah before the maghrib, the two sunnah before the isha, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, okay? Other than this, now this is the 10 salah, the 10 optional voluntarily prayer that you should try to make them, which that Ibn Umar reporting this this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhuma. So this hadith in the highest form of authenticity, okay, because in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim, and reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when said anhuma with a dual pronoun, because that means he's saying, please, may Allah be pleased with Ibn Umar and the father of Ibn Umar, which Umar Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, that I mastered from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I learn, I grasp from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this kind of information to perform 2 rak'at before Salat al-Zuhr, 2 rak'at after Salat al-Zuhr, 2 rak'at after Salat al-Maghrib, and 2 rak'at after Isha prayer, and 2 rak'at before the morning prayer. And in other narration, other version by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, كان إذا طلع الفجر لا يصلي إلا ركعتين خفيفتين. That, and if the Fajr is in, or after the daybreak, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't pray any except 2 rak'at lightly, okay, which is the sunnah before Salat al-Subh. There is 2 rak'at, okay, this is part of the strongly recommended to be done. Hadith number 282, reported by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يدع أربعا قبل الظهر وركعتين قبل الغداء. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari رحمة الله عليه, that Aisha reported, never the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم neglect 4 rak'at before ظهر and 2 rak'at before فجر. Okay, so it seems that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he pray in the masjid, he will pray 2 rak'at before Zuhr, and if he pray in his house, he will pray what? 4 rak'at. So Ibn Umar, he reported of what he saw, and Aisha reported from what she saw in her house, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make 4 rak'at. But anyway, if the person prayed 2 or 4, all of them, both of them correct, okay, and we shouldn't be debating in issues like this, because both of them been performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And arguing over optional argument among ourselves and debating issues and hot argument over optional is not the right thing, because our unity and loving one another and being nice to each other is a must, and performing 2 rak'at or 4 rak'at is optional, and we should be concerned about the obligatory more than the optional. You understand? So somebody want to pray 2, let him pray 2. Somebody want to pray 4, let him pray 4. Okay, and both of them correct, and both of them came in the hadith, and both of them are authentic, been done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Some of the scholars, they have a different explanation why he prayed four and why he prayed two here, but both of them been done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah knows best. In page number 131, hadith number 283, وعنها ذات مين عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل أشد تعاهدا منه على ركعتي الفجر. Okay. Hadith reported by Aisha and in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never more concerned more than anything like the two rak'at before the morning prayer. Okay? That means he used to be making all these sunnahs, all this optional. But about the two rak'at before the morning prayer, he was so, so concerned about it. And this shows us, alaykum as-salamu'alaikum, the importance of these two rak'at. That even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't neglect them when he used to be traveling. We understand when you're traveling, the salah is shortened, okay? But even when he used to be traveling, this is some of the sunnahs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't neglect it even when he traveled, like the witr prayer. And listen to this hadith or this version which in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, rak'at al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Subhanallah. The two rak'at of Fajr, the optional prayer of making two sections before the morning prayer, is much better than having all this dunya and all this material thing. Can you imagine being not a millionaire, billionaire, not even billionaire, to possess the whole material thing in this dunya? So the Prophet ﷺ said, for you to pray these two sunnah before the morning prayer is much, much better for you than you possessing all this dunya and those material thing in the dunya. وعن أم حبيبة in hadith number 284 reported by أم حبيبة أم المؤمنين, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من صلى 12 ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة. Okay. وفي رواية تطوعا, in a version that is optional, okay, that Umm Habiba, the mother of the believers, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that whosoever perform 12 raka'at, optional prayer in a day, that this became to do it during the day and the night, during the 24 hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of this, he will build a house for him in paradise. Okay? And we had mentioned that the 12 rak'at, it goes like 2 before Zuhr, and 2 after, and 2 before Asr, and 2 before after Maghrib, and after Isha, and the morning, and after Jum'ah also, all this comes in the additional or 12, the total to be 12. But regardless if this or that, when you enter the masjid, you pray 2 rak'at, you enter the masjid again for the next salah, you make 2 rak'at, and you made 4 rak'at before Zuhr, the total of this, you made it 12 rak'at during this day and night, optional prayer, additional to your 5 obligatory prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you by building a house for you in paradise. وللترمذي نحوه، وزاد اربعا قبل الظهر وركعتين بعدها وركعتين بعد المغرب وركعتين بعد العشاء وركعتين قبل صلاة الفجر. وللخمسة عنها من حافظ على اربع قبل الظهر واربعا بعدها واربع بعدها حرمه الله تعالى على النار. ام حبيبة بوزبوز. All this narration is authentic. The narration that in Tirmidhi and the next one also, all this hadith until now, alhamdulillah, are authentic. And in this narration, which or the version of Tirmidhi is saying four rak'at before Zuhr and two rak'at after Zuhr and two rak'at after Maghrib and two rak'at after Isha and two rak'ah before Salat al-Fajr. In other version is saying man hafaz ala arba' qabla al-Zuhr, that whosoever consisted with four rak'ah before Zuhr and four rak'ah after, four rak'ah before Zuhr and four rak'ah after Zuhr, as a reward of this Allah will forbid his body on hellfire. Okay, the person who keep with the habit of making optional prayer four rak'at before Zuhr and four rak'at after Zuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forbid his body on hellfire. Hadith number 285 in the same page 131. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله امرئ امرأ صلى اربعا قبل العصر. رواه احمد وابو داود والترمذي وحسن وابن خزيمة وصححه 36. This is hadith with a degree of being hasan, is a good. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad as well as Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Khuzayma. And the hadith classified to be good hadith. And the hadith is saying that may the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with a human being or a Muslim who pray four rak'at before before Asr. Okay, so we can see that there is different narration about praying four rak'at before Zuhr, four rak'at after Zuhr, four rak'at before Asr, and all these things is been done and been recommended by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith number 286 in page number 132. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. وعن عبد الله وعن عبد الله ابن مغفل المزني رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلوا قبل المغرب صلوا قبل المغرب ثم قال في الثالثة لمن شاء كراهية أن يتخذ الناس سنة. رواه البخاري. Hadith 286 in page 132 reported by Abdullah ibn Mughaffal al-Muzani, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said perform two rak'at sunnah before Maghrib, perform two rak'at before Maghrib, and the third time he said to whosoever wants. Okay, so not for the people to understand that is a must or that is recommended, highly recommended sunnah. So there is a sunnah before the Maghrib, there is a sunnah before Salat al-Maghrib, and we should sometimes do it even if we don't want to do it, for to let the sunnah established for the people to get to know. Because in some masjid, in a lot of masjids, okay? I don't want to mention countries now, okay? So nobody be offended, because some people, they are not here, they hear the tape sometimes and say that I'm picking on their country, okay? In some countries, after the adhan, immediately they will call the iqama. You could not find single Muslim making two rak'at sunnah. And it will be so strange if you perform two rak'at before Maghrib. Okay? So there is hadith and the authentic, and sometimes when the sunnah disappear among the Muslims, that we need to perform it for purpose of teaching the people and remind the people about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, pray before Maghrib. Then he said, pray before Maghrib. Then he said in the third time, whosoever wishes. Okay? وفي رواية لابن حبان أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى قبل المغرب ركعتين. In a version by collection of ابن حبان that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم performed two ركعات before مغرب. So he recommended and he performed it also. The next hadith. ولمسلم عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنا نصلي ركعتين بعد غروب الشمس وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرانا فلم يأمرنا ولم ينهانا. Okay, this is the version of Imam Muslim. He said, Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, that in the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم we used to pray two rak'at, optional, sunnah. Okay, after sunset,